And welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
I'm Vinny B.
And we went on a little field trip today. Food for Thought is in Manayunk, Pennsylvania, which is a neighborhood of Philadelphia. It's more of, is it a neighborhood or a suburb?
I believe it's a considered a neighborhood of Philadelphia. Okay. I could be wrong, but we have been doing a little house hunting, and for a while we were looking in Manayunk. For those of our national listeners, you know, if anyone was planning a trip to Philly, definitely check out Manayunk, because
yeah, it's the cutest little town.
It's really charming, and it's like a little city within a city.
It's very much like Lambertville in that there's a canal that runs along the whole town, and it's got
with a canal path and lots of dogs and
very cute downtown. Lots of restaurants, lots of hot spots, and it's, you know, 15 minutes from the center of Philadelphia, so certainly a destination area.
Yes, and you can get, just so you know, you can get a townhouse in Manayunk for under $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
You can even get one for close to $2,000,000, but that tends to be pretty teeny-weeny. But when you consider proximity
to Philly,
a major city...
Well, and what the rents can be. In Philly.
You know, a $300,000 townhouse is pretty sweet.
Absolutely.
So
so we are at Lucky's Last Stand.
Come on in.
Come on in. We started without you, Chris. Chris Bournes, owner, is joining us.
You're the owner?
Yeah, one of the owners here.
Okay.
Managing partner.
We just are talking about how cute Manayunk is.
Oh, thank you. I love this little town.
Well, you know, we're from sort of the Lambertville area, so it's very similar with the canal and cute little restaurants and bars. And
well, it's the Lambertville times 10.
Well, yeah, larger, certainly.
It's just big.
Just the same quaint feel,
but it's charm, like,
exactly.
Like Lambertville. So let me ask you, so Chris, so how long do you live in Manayunk or...
So I live in East Falls.
Give us the whole story.
East Falls. What is East Falls like?
It's Manayunk, just a little farther over.
Where? Because we're looking for a house.
So East Falls is at the end of Main Street, turns into Ridge Ave, and it's right there. That's where East Falls starts.
Can you hear him?
Okay. So, yeah, East Falls, Roxborough, Manayunk kind of share this similar northwest corridor.
And you grew up here?
I didn't. I grew up in Connecticut originally.
Oh, okay.
Came down here to go to school. Never left. Fell in love with Manayunk specifically. Came here to work and fell in love with the neighborhood. I've been in and out of here about 10 times since before we finally bought the restaurant in 2010.
What field did you go to school for?
I went to school for art. So, I'm not one of those people that has nothing that has anything to do with what they
restaurants or culinary. Okay.
Sure.
And just why not own a restaurant, right?
Because our school folks are a little wacky, you know, restaurant wacky. It works.
And I just have this place so I can put all the art stuff up.
You have some really cool stuff. I'm going to take some photos and post them when we do our posts. You got some really fun stuff.
So you've been here for how long?
Lucky's Last Chance will be 9 in September. So we're
awesome.
First restaurant for you?
Yes. Yeah, so we have a second one. We opened 3 years ago in Queen Village, so on the other side of town, South Philly.
Nice.
That opened up, just over 3 years ago. So it's exciting.
Wow.
A little bit of growth.
Cool.
So the true restaurateur, to have one and be successful is, in itself, quite a feat.
It was a lot of fun to come back down to one. I worked for a big hotel company for a long time and had to oversee upwards of 14 restaurants. At one point, and from North Carolina to Harrisburg to Philadelphia, and it was such a neat thing.
All right, then you're not a stranger to the restaurant business.
That's how it seemed earlier. After school, I kind of went into radio for a hot minute, realized that I was never going to be able to pay the bills working in radio, and got a job with a nightclub and learned promotions and marketing that way, and brought myself up through this a little bit.
Awesome.
Okay, it makes sense. It kind of bugs us when we meet with like ex-dentists and stuff who decide to open a restaurant. It's kind of like, oh, come on.
Not one of those midlife crisis. Like, I think it'd be a cute idea to open up a restaurant.
Right, like
I do consulting with a lot of those people, so.
Yeah, they think it's so glamorous.
You have an understanding, and you had an understanding before you came in. How not glamorous.
Exactly. Well, we're all super rich in the restaurant industry.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the thing nobody knows.
And we have free time. Galore.
My Maserati's parked out front.
Yeah, right?
And,
you
know, I only work like 15 hours a week. So
how many hours do you work a week?
I mean, truth be told, some weeks it's a ton, and some weeks it's not as bad anymore. I have a great, after being open for this long, we have an amazing team here. So I've been able to go on vacation and do those kinds of things in the last few years, which is something I could never do at the beginning.
Right.
Because, you know, at the beginning, you open, you close, and then you work all of the other hours doing other stuff as well. And you're also the one here at 5 in the morning when the alarm goes off and things like that.
Right.
So,
right.
Did I read that your wife is involved as well?
So, no.
Oh, okay.
My ex-wife is a partner here.
I love a friendly ex-wife situation.
You know what? We get along great. She was a great partner for here, and we were together when we opened this.
And it took its toll.
Yeah, and she's still a great partner to this. She's a partner in the other place as well. And we have a great relationship in terms of like a working relationship. So
great. So I'm sorry, but how long were you married?
Not long. We were together for about 12 years altogether.
Okay, that's long enough.
And the restaurant industry, I feel like we'll do that. You know that.
Yeah.
The only thing that saved my husband and I is a soundproof walk-in refrigerators. You know, go in the walk-in and scream at each other and don't frighten the employees.
So my wife now has nothing to do with the restaurant industry, and I absolutely adore that about her. She's amazing and super supportive and works in retail, so understands the hours a little bit.
Right.
But doesn't understand the business enough, so that when I go home, I'm not taking this stuff home with me anymore.
Exactly.
Right.
Such a great thing to have happen.
Right.
She doesn't understand anything about ticket times and that kind of stuff, and it's so great to have
it
that.
It is nice to
ever
walk
want her
away
to
from
learn
it.
Those things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I've never experienced that, quite frankly. Always bring it home. You'd have it. You didn't either. Right?
What?
You brought it home with you.
My restaurant nightmares?
Yeah, your food.
I still do.
Yeah.
Just, you know, now
I there are certain things that just have to come home with you, right? Like, I was joking the other day that my kitchen cabinet, you know, is filled with those clear quart containers with masking tape and labels on it.
Right.
All the different types of flour and everything else in there. I mean,
Ditto.
It looks like a kitchen.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Certain things you can't leave.
Lots of PCs in your house.
Right.
Yeah, mine too. So talk to us a little bit about the food, Chris, because it looks like you've got some awesome burgers and dogs and you're an award-winning burger.
So I'll give you the short version. We were started on the idea of 10 years ago to get a really great beer. You had to go to a place that was a gastropub that had a really crazy menu and all these kind of weird oddball things that were all really delicious. But, you know, what if you just want to go out and have a burger and fries and a really great beer at the same time without having to eat foie gras on this and you know, all these fancy dishes? You just want something simple.
So are you saying that the gastropubs, when they became a thing, it was also the level of cuisine was still a little bit too high? It wasn't. It didn't really match to me.
It was a lot of bougie ingredients that were there to, like, elevate stuff, which was really cool because you had this, like, elevated beer product with this elevated food product.
But you can still have an elevated beer with a burger and a dog.
So that was our goal. How do we not get fancy and have, you know, all kinds of crazy food, but just have, like, really simple food done well, like really simple bar food done as well as we can possibly do it. So we wanted to elevate it that way as opposed to getting into game meats and things along those lines. We wanted to keep it really simple, but just find something better than the frozen beef patty that everybody was kind of using at that point, the regular bars were using at that point. So we just took a real traditional bar menu and said, okay, if we go to a butcher and we find a great blend of meat and we go find the best roll and we go find great cheese and we start to put these things together and keep them really simple and approachable.
You got
a
hit.
Can we be a great craft beer bar that also happens to have really good burgers? And that was the goal for us.
And apparently you can because you're the Philadelphia Burger Brawl winner, like, for this one, for that one, for this, you know, multiple times over.
My goodness. So
how much are the burgers, like 11 to 14? Is that
pretty? That's a pretty good range for
but
them.
But that's and considering you're using all of these great ingredients,
right?
Like so good cheese, good buns, good beef. You know,
when we started,
gosh, you have tots.
Food cost and things like that for us. I mean, you guys know from being in the industry that we weren't super concerned with our food cost being where it should be for a restaurant because we wanted to be a beer bar that happened to have some food. Our goal was to be about 80-20. You know, we wanted to be more of a bar that happened to have food. You know, you plan these restaurants and you think you know exactly what's going to happen. A lot of it did. You know, where we become is one of the things that went wrong was we became this restaurant that also happened to have a good beer list.
So you wish there was more of a focus on the
No, I love it. I love it. I mean, it's kind of just organically morphed into this thing. And, you know, it's our philosophy is if we listen to the customers, they'll tell you what they want at some point. Mm-hmm. Mac and cheese was not a goal for us to have a mac and cheese menu. We right. just did one to go on top of a burger. And then our customers started demanding it. So we said, look, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it in a way, our way. So we're going to do 4 or 6 different flavors on it. We're going to try to go as right. big as we can with it.
So just to let our listeners know, there's a Cajun chicken mac and cheese, a buffalo chicken mac and cheese, and a bacon and tomato mac and cheese, which sounds delicious to me.
And do they spell it M-A-K?
Yeah. M-A-K.
So that's a nod yeah. from us to a friend who was a big yeah. part of the inspiration for this thing. His name is Joe Mack. Passed away a couple years ago. We started a foundation called Down Goes Cancer, and it was for him. But he was a big inspiration of what led me nice. To kind of getting out of corporate work and getting into something a little bit smaller where I could actually put my heart and soul into it and
absolutely.
Not have it be a watered-down version of, like,
that's
what
beautiful.
I...
Was his last name Mack?
Mackovitz.
Mackovitz.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could spell that, and it was just easier to call him Joe Mack.
Nice.
So I'm actually taking particular interest because I'm a chef manager, and I've been a chef for a while and worked in food and everything, and I've mostly higher-end kind of things.
She's been a private chef for
private
many
chef
years.
And all this stuff. But for the past few months, I've been working at a high school,
okay.
an arts school.
Nice.
What's it called? Lehigh Valley Charter.
Lehigh Valley Charter.
Lehigh Valley Charter High School. And like it's a real art school, so the emphasis is on performing arts,
okay.
et cetera. And so, but I,
she calls
you know,
herself a lunch lady.
I call myself a lunch
but
lady.
But she's not
you
a
know.
Lunch lady.
But
I call myself a janitor here most of the time.
I'm loving some of the terminology here because what I'm finding is that my
right.
kids.
It's all the way
it's all the way what you call something.
Sure.
Like, if I called something, well, I'm not going to call it Mac, M-A-K, because that's, you know, you have that relationship. But just the sort of whimsical approach. And, for example, I make this soup, and it's out of leftover lasagna that the damn kids didn't eat. And I freeze it, and I cut it up into little pieces, and I saute some onions, and I put in chicken stock, and I dump in that lasagna, and I add some tomatoes.
I love this.
Well, I call it pizza noodle soup, right? Nobody got it.
I love everything about it.
Because it was so cute. I thought, pizza noodle, they'll
like
it.
Sure.
If she called it something different.
No, well, guess what? These kids are sophisticated enough. I started to call it Zuppa de Pizza. Sells out. Because it's cool. Because they're
just
smart
makes it
enough
sound
to
like
know.
It tastes better.
Right, they're like, exactly. Zuppa, is that like, I don't know, is that like Italian
yeah,
or something?
Like, they don't even know what it is.
They know, but they, you know, but it's the marketing, you know, you've definitely.
It's got to be fun. I mean, look, what we do is not rocket science. We're not curing cancer or anything along those
right.
lines, right? We're supposed to have fun. Like, our staff is supposed to have fun. Our menus are supposed to be fun. We're not. You know, in the running for a Michelin star or a James Beard Award anytime
right.
soon.
Ew.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those places are amazing at what they do. But for us, this is, you know, we have fun with beer. We have fun with food. We try to have fun with everything.
I think it's so
do.
Much nicer being in a neighborhood place that has approachable food than a very elevated, don't you? I mean, maybe for a special occasion to go
a
somewhere
special
that's elevated,
even then, I prefer it when someone else is paying.
Well,
you know, like you go to a really great place and it, Michelin. I don't. I've never aspired to be anything close to Michelin rating.
Right.
I feel it's overrated. Michelin
yeah.
ratings.
So we're running out of time. When we come back, I want to know about the name where this came from. First of all,
oh boy.
Lucky's.
When we come back.
All right, we're going to break.
Going Vinny, to break.
Music.
We'll be back in a few. We're in Manayunk.
Attention all timeshare owners. Is this what you'd like to do with your timeshare contract? Do you own a timeshare and just want out? Thousands of timeshare owners are getting out of their timeshare contracts. With the help of Timeshare Compliance, Timeshare Compliance can legally terminate, tear up, shred, eliminate, trash your timeshare agreement, ending your payments forever, saving you thousands. So whether you're a victim of a high-pressure, dishonest sales agent, or you were misled with what you were buying, or you overpaid and they underdelivered, call Timeshare Compliance now for a free consultation. With one simple call, the trusted professionals at Timeshare Compliance can legally rip up your timeshare agreement and help rip up your financial suffering. You could save thousands. Call now before another payment is due. Timeshare Compliance is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Call 800-726-5390. 800-726-5390. 800-726-5390.
And welcome back to Food for Thought. We are at Lucky's Last Chance in Manayunk, which is outside of Philadelphia, with Chris Barnes, the owner. Okay, Chris, tell us about the name. Why is it called Lucky's Last Chance? Are you lucky?
No. Okay. Yeah, well, yes, obviously.
Well, I know.
We're going to be an honest here, so very much so. It's funny, this naming thing has become like the biggest, most asked question here.
Well, when you have a name like that,
there's no real good story for that. It's a...
You should make one up.
No, I really need to come up with like some great...
You need to make up a good story.
The truth of it is, we knew the feel we wanted for. We wanted this kind of vintage road trip kind of feel for it. A little bit eclectic, a little bit interesting. You know, one part south of the border, one part, you know, I don't know, but as you're, you know, when you're a kid in the backseat of the car, taking that trip down to Florida, you see all these really cool things on the side of the road and get to see all these interesting places. And over time, and I think over my lifetime, you know, restaurants have gotten more and more chain, less and less interesting up until like the last, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Right.
And so we just kind of wanted to give a nod to that like vintage inspired road trip and give
awesome.
It a little bit of that eclectic feel. And we knew we wanted kind of that old neon sign look for our logo, for our brand.
Mm-hmm.
And the sign we found initially that I wanted to like model after this was our Lucky's Liquor Store. And so just kind of we're using Lucky's as a working title because this logo was so great for it. And after a couple weeks of just kind of using it as a working title, we kind of started to fall in love with the idea.
Yeah.
But we had to be Lucky something, but we didn't want it to be a bar, a restaurant, a pub, a that. Like, we didn't want to have that moniker because we wanted it to be something different to the person who came in at noon versus the person who came in at 11 o'clock at night. And I wanted
love
to
this.
Kind of live and breathe on its own. And so we went through 30 iterations of like, what do we
Lucky's
call it?
This, Lucky's this, Lucky's this, Lucky's that, store. Right.
And eventually, somebody came across the idea of like Lucky's Savings Company or Lucky's Trust Company is what we were initially kind of going for. And
okay.
This URL was taken and I was frustrated about it. And went back and I said, all right, what else do we have here? And the idea came out of Last Chance because, like, you know, we're running out of chances to figure out a name for this place because we need to get open now. And so it was kind of a joke.
Perfect. But it also plays into, like, when you're on a road trip and it's, like, the last, you know, the last stop for 100 miles or the last.
Texaco.
Yeah, exactly.
And our logo and everything changed from that initial plan, but, like, this billboard idea of, like, yeah, this being last stop, last chance.
There's a sense of urgency.
I love it.
It was foreshadowing for us, too.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I mean, we were super underfunded walking into this. We were a bunch of people that never underestimated.
Really?
Were
you?
Put every dollar into this thing. So it really was kind of our last chance collectively to do something.
The
like
metaphor
this.
Is killing me. Because I did it and mine went under. It was my last chance and I lost it. But so you guys made
people
it.
People ask us a lot, like, you know, how did you become successful in this and how did you? And I keep laughing and saying, look, you know, when we've been here 10, 15 years and you can start talking about success, like, the restaurant industry is such a, it's so difficult. And the funny part, going back to our names, it's not even about your experience and how good you are. Sometimes it's just a lot of luck.
Absolutely.
You asked about some of the awards that we won before. That was where we really did get lucky in this whole thing. And that's why I say, yes, now I'm lucky, for sure.
Right.
we won Philadelphia Burger Brawl. We got invited to be a part of Philadelphia Burger Brawl. We've been open for about a year and a half, and we were struggling. I mean, we were...
You needed it, and you got it.
Day to day, trying to pay the bills and make payroll. And there were a few times that I looked at our payroll and went, wow, like, I don't...
How are you going to do
it? I don't
know
that we're going to make it through this period. the reviews were great. All the feedback was great. Like,
but that doesn't bring you customers sometimes. Right? Doesn't translate. But no. the Burger Brawl does.
That in my soul.
But the Burger Brawl totally does.
We got invited to do this event.
Well, it gives you credibility.
It does. And, this
and it brings people.
It was a scary time, and they asked us to be a part of it. And I said, we're honored to be a part of it. It was with all these amazing restaurants. And, you know, Bobby Flay had won this thing the year prior. And all of these types of things. And I said, well, we're never going to win this thing. So we're going up against all these, like, big, heavy hitters from the city.
But it's exposure.
Yeah. For us, it was this thing of like, all right, we have to do this thing. It's great exposure for us.
Yeah.
So what do? Everybody else is doing really fancy burgers with really fancy cuts and really fancy everything.
And you did the pickle one, right?
We actually entered the peanut butter and bacon burger.
So for our listeners,
people aren't going to forget about us. Like, they're going to come to our booth. They're going to remember us because we're the ones doing this ridiculous thing.
We have to let our listeners know. So it's creamy peanut butter, American cheese, bacon, and it has a side of house-made jelly. Man,
you're killing me. My kids are going to love this
sounds
shit.
Sounds really good. But then you won with the pickle monster, too, which is my personal favorite because I love pickles.
So we did. I mean, fast forward, that year, we had no intention of winning anything, and they announced the judge's choice, and, you know, it was a really amazing restaurant with a really amazing chef and a really great culinary team. And I walked away after that point. We were packing up the car or something, and you know, our kitchen manager called me and said, "You got to get over here. They just announced that we won the judge's choice." And I said,
"I can't stand it.
You got to be kidding me." And I hung up the phone on him, and I finished packing my car up, and he calls me back two more times. He says,
"Get
really,
your ass over here, right?"
Oh my God.
I realized, like, holy crap, he's really not kidding.
Can I just pause for a second? You actually took the risk to take basically a peanut butter and jelly burger with bacon. And even though you knew it wasn't going to win, but you knew no one would forget about it, and you ran with it, and you won.
Yeah, complete mistake. Total luck. Total accident.
Lucky.
And when you say it like this, now I feel even foolish for entering it in the first place.
No, but it takes balls, man. That's so great.
It's funny. Awesome. The whole turn of events with this Philly Burger Brawl thing has been such a blessing for us because, honestly, at that point, that was a turning point for the business. That's where we went from barely being able to make paychecks to, oh, wow, we can actually buy a piece of equipment that's not used, right? And we won a fridge for that. Like, we won, like, just a reach-in fridge for that.
Awesome.
And we desperately needed it. We had this Bain Maria that was falling apart, that was broken
that's
every
totally
day.
Lucky.
I became, like, a mechanic just to try to figure out how to fix these things.
Yeah.
We ended up the next year entering a different burger. We didn't win, but we came in, like, third or fourth place. And then people were mad at us for not having this peanut butter and bacon burger, so we brought that back, won again.
Oh, my
gosh.
We
skipped the next year. People got mad at us, so we brought it back again, won again. And the Rob Wasserman, who owns Rouge and a number of other restaurants in the city.
It's three-time winner.
So Rob Wasserman is I'm grateful to him forever for this stuff, and he hates when I bring him up. But he owns Rouge and a couple other restaurants downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rouge, famous for their burger in Philadelphia. Him and his wife put together this charity, and the reason Burger Brawl came to exist is to raise money for Philadelphia Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
And that year was for Meredith School, which is in Queen Village, where our second location is, aptly enough. So it was just it was a great charity event, and it was about giving back. And so Rob, after we had won the third time, he said to me, you can't bring this burger back again. Like,
you're just going to keep
winning.
You
just can't do this. And he put us next to another restaurant that had won a few times. And I said, fine, we're going to bring something different then. And we brought this pickle monster.
And you won.
We brought a bunch of inflatable pickles, and we were being obnoxious with it. We were just trying to have fun with the customers.
You brought inflatable pickles?
We had these, you know, 3-foot inflatable pickles. And we were just trying to have fun with it. And really, genuinely, it was about having a good time for us. And
God.
Somebody grabbed me about 5 minutes before the awards, and they said, you better be over by the stage when we announce the winners. I said, no way. There's no, absolutely zero chance that we won this year.
Oh, my God.
Sure enough, we ended up winning the judge's choice.
So the pickle, just so people
know. Not the people's choice, the judge's choice.
Wow, that's the real.
Sorry, that's the real deal.
We had never made it past round one of the judges. Not with anything we had ever entered. The judges just didn't care for us at all. And all of a sudden.
Well, do you think, though, that your credibility sort of.
My understanding is the judges didn't know where any of the burgers were from.
Okay.
So, oh, yeah. I'm sure. It's blind.
That being
blind
the case, it's supposed to be blind. So, and I got to be honest with you, I felt bad. Like, none of us are.
What, you felt bad about winning? What are you?
I mean, listen, I'm internally grateful, but the fact that we won a judge's choice for something along those lines, like, we're not fancy. We're not.
Because, you know, from my experience with food over the years, when people, there'd be lots of people who come up to me and say, that was so fantastic. That was the best whatever I've ever had. And I just, in the bubble above my head said, you don't know shit about food, but thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
That means diddly squat to me.
Who really, who's traveled the world, who's had the best of the best, and when they come to you and they, it's validation. Not like necessarily needed it, but it's nice to get.
You know, it felt great for me. I'll be honest with you. The kitchen staff here, I mean, those guys were the ones. So they, I think it really hit home for them. We got back here. They were screaming and yelling, and like that bunch, you know, they worked their butts off. And
yeah.
I get a sense that your staff has fun working here.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean,
well, you're a fun guy. It seems like it. Yeah.
But it's not, Chris. Very often, I'm sorry if you've been in this bubble for 10 years or 9, but a lot of places out there,
it's not fun.
It's awful.
It depends who you're cooking for. It really does. And I believe that.
And who you're cooking with.
Fancier places and nicer places and white tablecloth places and, my hat is off to all of the people that have been involved in that kind of stuff, because I got to be honest with you, it is the toughest thing in the world to do. We're on the casual bottom end of this thing.
Right.
And we're able to have fun with this stuff, and we're not cooking for critics. We're cooking for everyday people to hopefully stop in 2 or 3 times a week.
Right.
So it's a much different environment. You know, we're not at risk for losing that great, you know, review from that food critic every week.
Right.
The food critics, while sure I want them to like our food, they're not my concern. That's not who we're making food for. Like, we're making food for the people. And I'm a little unapologetic about that. Yeah,
so let's talk about the menu a little bit, guys, while we have some time. So obviously you've got all these awesome burgers. 4, 6, 8. You've got like almost 20 really good burgers.
Can you just kind of really quickly run through the titles of them?
Of the burgers?
Yeah, because I don't think people get a sense of
okay, how many there's a Mac Attack, which is topped with mac and cheese, a bacon cheddar, a Cubano, which obviously, you know, it's got
pork,
Swiss,
pork
it's got pulled pork, blah, 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 yummy. Buffalo wing burger, a gorgonzola, not gorgonzola, gorgonzola. Bacon, egg, and cheese burger, nice. Got cheese, bacon, and a runny fried egg on it. PK burger, which has pierogies on it.
Yeah, our friends at the Pierogi Kitchen make the best pierogies. Wow. And
with cheddar, caramelized onions, and sour cream. That sounds really good. Man. The Juicy Lucy takes an extra few minutes because it's, why?
It's stuffed. So it's a half-pound burger that is stuffed with Cooper cheese and bacon and onions. And so you get that flavor in the whole burger
more
as it's cooking.
From tomatoes.
The inside of this, like, molten, like, lava.
Yummy.
Center.
There's the PB and bacon. There's the pickle monster.
Right.
The good old burger that has smoked pulled pork on it. El Guapo, which has pepper jack cheese, guacamole, sour cream, pico de gallo. Jalapenos. Almost Inferno, which is pepper jack with jalapenos and habanero. A really hot habanero mayo, I'm sure. My Boy Blue, it's crumbled blue cheese, onion strings, and tomato. And the classic, American cheese. I personally think American cheese is the best thing on a burger, personally. On a real burger.
My mouth is open.
Burger.
I'm just.
So let's have this conversation because you look like you don't agree. No, it's cheddar cheese.
Cheddar.
Blue. I mean, I like a blue burger,
American
I like a cheddar burger, but.
I can eat anything. If I get something with American cheese on it, like in an omelet, I have to send it back.
I literally like American cheese.
I don't like it.
I like it.
See, I can go either way on this. Cheddar cheese, American cheese.
Yeah, I like all of them, but I do like an American. I like an In-N-Out burger. I like like a smash
American
burger
cheese,
and
I have not a problem
with American cheese on it.
The only issue for me with a burger, but they never belong on brioche. Like that's the
That's
the only real like hardline stance I take on burgers.
They never belong on a brioche bun.
No. Brioche doesn't have the structural integrity to hold up to a burger properly. Right?
I'm with you.
The flavor on it's great. But it just won't hold together. So as you're trying to eat this burger, you end up with like two little pieces of sponge and a burger stays in the right spot.
And we'll find out soon. Completely agree. What is the essence of the burger bun that you use? Like, what would define it?
Structural
Kaiser-like?
Integrity. I mean, that's
structural integrity.
Really
is it like a Kaiser? What is it?
Yeah,
is
it's similar like to a Kaiser roll. Yeah.
It holds
a
up.
Snowflake
when you
roll.
Take a bite, it doesn't fall apart.
Initially, when we started with it, we had a floured one, which I really, really loved. And then they got a little inconsistent for us. And when you have too much flour on a roll, it takes a really juicy burger and it kind of starts to take that away really quick. But yeah, we needed something that was big and tough and could handle a double stack with all of these things on top of it, and I gotta be
totally
honest, the brioche just doesn't
agree.
Stand a chance to any of these things.
Agree.
It's a little mamby-pamby.
Yes, yeah.
So, other things on the menu, there's a chicken sandwich, which is, you just said you started this recently,
yeah,
right?
So we've been testing this thing for on and off for about 2 years. We've had it for Restaurant Week. We ran it for a burger, quote-unquote, of the month for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm in love with this
the
final
chicken?
Product, yep. Finally.
Okay. So it's brined, fried.
It is. It's brined and deep fried with a great batter to it. Mm-hmm. And then we do a honey hot sauce on with a house-made slaw, and it's just and pickles, and it's just a nice balance of acid and creaminess, and it gives you a little bit of everything.
Sounds delicious.
A little bit
of chicken breast. It's made from chicken breast,
yes.
And that is brined.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's also a black bean burger.
So black bean burger was our original veggie burger. That was, we created that. I think we opened without one because we just weren't happy.
Right.
So we went out and bought every veggie burger in existence, tried them all, realized.
You have to make your own.
Vegetarians do not eat very well. So we have an obligation to go ahead and try to fix this or at least be a part of the solution.
Yep.
And try to create something that was big and actually ate like a real burger. Yeah.
Without giving the specific recipe for it, can
sure.
you, so, you know, like what's the binder, or, you know, what's...
So it's a black bean based burger. It's got a little bit of spice to it. There's definitely a little bit of curry in it. So if you're not into that kind of seasoning, but it also has a little bit of a Spanish kind of flair to the flavor on it.
Nice.
So we treat it as more of a Spanish style thing.
Okay.
All right. And there's an Impossible Burger as well.
Yeah, we just added that, bullied into it. But I feel good about the
Bullied
way we treated
it.
And
Bullied.
It looks nice on our roll.
All right. And when we come back, we're going to have some food in front of us, so we'll be able to talk
and
more.
And more questions for Chris.
Yes, exactly. We'll be back.
At Lucky Flash Cheese.
Hi. What? What'd you say? Oh boy. I know. Never mind. Doesn't matter. Younger than us. What's last name? What? I don't know, Joe Strauss either. Probably your age. We can have 30 roll. I could have a 30-year-old daughter. Oh, okay. So, all right.
Attention all timeshare owners. Is this what you'd like to do with your timeshare contract? Do you own a timeshare and just want out? Thousands of timeshare owners are getting out of their timeshare contracts. With the help of Timeshare Compliance, Timeshare Compliance can legally terminate, tear up, shred, eliminate, trash your timeshare agreement, ending your payments forever, saving you thousands. So whether you're a victim of a high-pressure, dishonest sales agent, or you were misled with what you were buying, or you overpaid and they underdelivered, call Timeshare Compliance now for a free consultation. With one simple call, the trusted professionals at Timeshare Compliance can legally rip up your timeshare agreement and help rip up your financial suffering. You could save thousands. Call now before another payment is due. Timeshare Compliance is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau.
Call 800-726-5390, 800-726-5390, 800-726-5390.
Oh my gosh, we're eating a pickle burger and an Impossible burger and their Thunder Chicken. Really good, really, amazing. Really good. Very happy. You talk, Deirdre, because I'm going
to
eat.
Okay, so I want to go back to, so you were talking about brain chemistry and how it...
no, well, this stemmed from my saying that, you know, Vinny is a vegetarian and he's eating this now Impossible burger, but... For the majority, I believe the majority of vegetarians, they don't want a vegetarian. They don't want a burger that tastes like meat because they're not interested in meat. At which point, Chris said,
"So look, that it was, and I could be completely wrong about
some of this data, but
I was listening to a podcast about how this thing was created with one of the creators of it, and they were talking about the neuroscience behind it and what the brain actually, what happens chemically in the brain when somebody eats." Charred meat and cheese and how
their
every one of the pleasure
light
centers
up.
Light up.
Right.
And they kind of went at it from that approach and trying to recreate that same reaction, that chemical reaction in the brain, and try to reverse engineer the food out that way. And I got to be honest with you.
Because
I reluctantly...
Because the meat industry, because we want to be more...
environmentally friendly, I think.
Exactly.
And just balance out some of the cattle farming in the country. Mm-hmm. Try to make it more sustainable. I mean, I think if we go too far in the other direction, you know, soybean farming also takes a toll on the environment, right? In just a very different way, but it creates a whole lot of different problems. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's everything in moderation. If we can find a balance between those two things in a way that's environmentally safe, you know, that's a great spot for us to be.
Mm-hmm.
I very reluctantly agreed to this Impossible burger on the menu. It's not something I wanted to do. It's not something I was excited about. But I got to be honest with you, the product is...
And it meets a need. There are some people that, you know, don't eat meat.
There's some people that
have
all kinds of issues with
something.
Red meat and
right.
things like that.
Sure.
And so it does. It provides a great option. And like I said, the product is undeniably good.
Mm-hmm.
And it saddens
good.
Me to
my
say
first,
that.
My first one. It was excellent.
It's really good.
If you didn't tell me...
You wouldn't know.
I might not have known.
Yeah, not something that's going to be on our marketing anytime soon. But if you bring your friend and you're a meat eater and you want to bring somebody along with you, now we have options for that friend as
right.
well.
Right, exactly.
Well, and we all have
all
those.
A vegetarian one. An option.
Fair
right.
enough. And we didn't want to just give you a frozen option or something. You know, for us, if we're going to do anything, we just want to do it the right way.
Now, tell us, you
Very
were talking
good.
About the veggie hot dogs? No,
are
these a product that you purchase? You don't make your hot dogs?
We don't. We okay. don't.
I would hope not.
We use a Light Life brand hot dog, which is the only one that we found that wasn't... As a whole, vegetarian hot dogs are terrible. I mean, they're just awful product.
I don't think I've had...
Bother
I mean, I've had
one.
A tofu dog. Yeah, I've had a tofu dog.
They're excruciating. Like, even taste testing
gross.
On all those different
yeah.
ones, it was one of the most horrible experiences of my life, and I feel... I really do. I feel bad for vegetarians because, like, these are the options they have in food. And
I know, but they don't want it to taste like a hot dog.
But not wanting it to taste like a hot dog.
But how
and
about
wanting
snappy?
It to be edible.
How about like, snappy you know? And salty and...
I'd be happy if it just tasted like something that I would want to eat again. You
yeah,
know, regardless
that's true.
Of what that texture was or anything else.
Well,
right.
It really depends on how long someone has been a vegetarian.
Yeah, because they lose the taste for it.
For a month.
Right. Right.
Totally different than me. I'm 44 years a vegetarian. I was telling them the other day. thank you. The other day, I accidentally had a burger that I thought it was a.
He thought he ordered
a portobello burger.
It was a burger
with
a portobello on top of it.
No.
And he ate half of it. And then he said to his wife,
something
this,
doesn't taste right.
I haven't tasted.
Gotcha.
And I showed it to my wife, she goes, that's a burger.
Mm.
What the heck?
I mean, I just think somebody needs to look. This person is not me. We have a couple great vegetarian restaurants in the city, and we have more popping up every day.
Yeah.
It's nice to finally see somebody represent that community, though, because there is a need to make better food for people who can't.
Right.
Do what we do,
right.
and can't, you know, eat burgers and things like that.
You know what, Chris? I'm sure, I mean, we don't live in the cultural mecca that you do in the Philadelphia area, but we do happen to have, and we did a show there. It's a vegetarian restaurant called Sprig and Vine.
Okay.
And I feel
in New Hope.
In New Hope, PA.
Mm-hmm.
Vegetarian restaurants or vegetarian chefs who have really gotten to a certain level, they know so much more than I do.
Yeah.
Because it's such a different science and art of what they do. And
yeah, a lot of food chemistry comes into it, the way she was using cashew butter as thickeners.
The three of us, Vinny wasn't there, but our producer went with us, and we're all carnivores, and we were kind of like, okay, this better be good. And we didn't feel like we missed a beat.
We did not miss a thing.
The flavors were incredible. But that doesn't mean that I want to join that club.
Right.
It's like, it's good to know it's there.
I mean, look, I went to a Lebanese restaurant a couple weeks ago downtown, and Soraya is amazing. I didn't realize until we got through half the meal that I hadn't eaten any meat so far in that meal. And I was like, this place is fantastic.
See, is that a testament?
So there are definitely some options. And fortunately for me, lamb came next. So we were in good shape from that point out.
Right.
But
thank God for the lamb.
We got a lamb. Have some lamb.
Not even a vegetarian restaurant, though. It just happened to
be geared toward.
And I think Lebanese cuisine just has a lot of that influence already anyway. So I think it's really cool that people are taking an approach, like a proactive approach with vegetarian foods and things along those lines to try to create something. And for us, it was the same thing when we created our veggie burger. It was like, we need to make something that's going to give somebody that same experience as they would have if they were eating a burger here. Like, I want them to leave just as full,
satisfied.
Feeling just as much like they need to go to the gym tomorrow. Like, all of those things,
just
you know?
Just guilty.
Right. To me, you know, that's my wife. I love to share meals with her. She's a super picky eater.
Uh-huh.
But I have this theory that when you share meals with somebody, at the end of it, you're the same full of the same stuff. So you've, like, shared this, like, real experience together at that point. And for me, that's the cool part about it. So if we can create that in the restaurant with our veggie burgers, give them the same experience
as somebody else does. Bravo, because you've done it.
Really.
So I'm looking at your schedule here. Anything you want to...
Promote
anything you want to tell our listeners?
So,
our listeners are all over.
They're all over the country, saturated
in Philadelphia.
But Philadelphia is a destination area.
Yes,
as we said,
absolutely.
You're not far from Philly. You're
there are good burgers
from
everywhere.
Philly.
And that's the exciting part about burgers, right? We're not reinventing the wheel with anything that we do here. There are some amazing burger joints, and I'm still to this day in love with burgers enough that every time we go to a new city, I try to find something cool.
Anything coming up you want to let our listeners know? Whiskey Wednesday sounds pretty interesting.
Our brand new thing that we have going right now is Thunder Chicken, which is our fried chicken sandwich.
Right.
Been a work
which is delicious, the one we just had.
Just
amazing. It's brined. It's amazing.
I know, it's really good.
And we
super
wanted
moist.
It to be super juicy and have a little bit of spice to it and a little bit of sweetness to it. So we're excited about that piece. Our new burgers of the month for April, for March, are going to be dueling pastrami's. We're doing the Reuben versus the special. We really tried to narrow this down to one.
Reuben burger?
And we just couldn't do it. So we got the marble rye and everything. So we're doing both styles. So it's going to be kind of just a competition.
Time out.
Month.
Is there corned beef on the burger?
The
beef
burger?
But on the beef burger.
Yep.
Oh,
everything we do.
Okay, we have to come back.
Thanksgiving, we do a Thanksgiving burger that is a beef burger with everything on top.
Stuffing, cranberry, everything.
Of
you got
course you do.
No mashed potatoes, but gravy, yes. Lots of gravy.
And stuffing.
Yeah.
Nice.
You can have, and cranberry sauce.
I know.
You need all of those things
yummy.
To make it. And you know,
so it looks like you have a lot of, I'm sorry, you know, we didn't mention your awesome, you've got a really beautiful beer, wine selection, booze, Whiskey Wednesdays,
we try
craft
to treat
days.
Everything the same way. We want our beer to be good.
Can I interject? I'm going to interject something that's unrelated, but For the past few months, my fiance and I were actually kind of looking in Manayunk. Like, we came here one day.
It's one of the reasons we're taping here today.
Because we were house shopping, and we were like,
this is a really nice area.
Like, we actually looked at, but we're in a very low price range. So we looked at some places in Old City Philly and a couple of different neighborhoods, and we came to Manayunk. We're like, no, this is us. This is where we belong.
Yeah.
And so we started walking around, and I realized the last time I was in Manayunk was in 2003. I ran the Philadelphia Marathon, and I was told, the folklore said, that when you hit Manayunk, because that's like the turnaround.
Yeah, it is. It's the turnaround for the color run. It's turnaround for the fun run.
It's literally right in front of our front door.
Now, this is 2003, so I was a little bit younger, mm-hmm. but... They said in Manayunk, people line the streets and they hand you beers. And I remember thinking, how on earth could someone drink a beer in the middle of running?
Okay,
and
well.
I got to Manayunk and I was like, all right, where the hell is the beer? But everyone was on the street, like cheering everyone
on. It was
so fun. So
you remember I did the Cincinnati beer run last year? It's like every quarter mile you drink a craft beer.
Oh, I can get my head around it, but, you know.
At the time.
17 years ago, I thought, no way. But Manayunk is just such a cool town.
It's a very cool town.
I love it. People don't even consider it a part of Philadelphia, which is a shame.
It doesn't seem like
it is. We're
right
inside the city limits, but the great
better.
Part of it,
sorry,
it feels like
better.
A small town in a big city. I mean,
yeah.
We have an independent record store, an independent bookstore. We have all these great little independent restaurants. There's not a chain store to be had on the street.
Right.
And it's part of what makes this neighborhood so great. You know, I don't mean to talk so much about Manayunk. We have another bar in Queen Village, which is also an amazing neighborhood to be in.
You know, Queen Village, but, how far is that? From here, because
so
I don't know.
It's South Philadelphia. It's probably about a half hour from here, but just south of South Street, which you know everybody usually knows. We're about four blocks south of there. Beautiful little neighborhood, and the coolest part about that neighborhood is that, you know, the parents in that neighborhood have kind of dug their heels in and said, "We want to raise kids in Philadelphia." So they've really put in the work to help the school district start to get better.
Right.
So it's a really neat story about that neighborhood, and it's created this amazing little tight-knit community there as well. And for us, that was part of the reason why we chose that. We wanted something that had
the neighborhood
feel that Manayunk had when we were looking for our second location.
Right.
And I can walk in any shop on the street here and find an owner and find some great products. And we sell a lot of those things. Tubby Robot's an ice cream shop down the street that we do a lot of collabs with. We bring them in for a lot of desserts. Volo Coffee House, we serve their coffee for our brunch every Saturday and Sunday.
What's your brunch menu like?
So brunch is my favorite part, right? It's where we get to not put things on burgers for a little bit. So we do brunch Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 2, and then Sunday nights we do like a late night industry brunch from 8 p.m. to midnight.
Oh,
for those
nice.
People who can't wake up or are working during brunch.
Look at Laura and I are like,
I know, this is great. So talk about that menu, because we don't have that menu.
Our base for that is sausage, gravy, and biscuits, kind of the cornerstone for that.
Nice.
A banana sausage French toast.
Nice.
We do a one-eyed sailor, which a lot of people know is like a toad in a hole.
Right.
It's just a very traditional, like, rich breakfast thing. But then a lot of fun stuff. Like this month for February, we're working with the Girl Scouts, and my niece is selling Girl Scout cookies. So we decided to do a lemonade-inspired stuffed French toast. So it is lemon curd and blueberries, crumbled
Yum.
Up lemonade cookies between two pieces of French toast with powdered sugar on the top.
Oh, my God.
We have
that
a ton of fun
great.
With that menu. It's a lot of biscuit sandwiches and fun things along those lines. But we also
Perfect.
Get a little over the top and do, you know, red velvet pancakes and things like that from time to time. Our seasonal items are constantly
Fun.
Changing, and my favorite right now is a chorizo hash. We do a seasonal hash, and we kind of change that up all the time.
So you put chorizo in it? Lovely.
And it's a chorizo hash with this taco hot sauce that we found that we used to make this kind of crema for the top of it that is...
Dang! Okay, we're coming back for brunch.
Awesome.
And this is really impressive.
I don't want to sound chefy with this stuff, because I can't take responsibility
for it.
It's
not chefy. It's I don't know how to describe it. It's sort of like...
It's eclectic.
Less
it's
is more.
Lot,
it's like...
Yeah.
It's like...
It's unabashedly
gotten
at all.
You're not at this higher level, but on a certain level, you are at a higher level because you're taking, you know, red velvet pancakes.
Right.
Like, who does that? Did you copy that from
creative,
anybody? Or did
sure.
you...
Certainly.
The creativity and the... I don't know. It's kind of hardcore real food with a flair. It's not, I mean, not just a burger joint.
Yeah, no, we want to put the best product we can from the customer, whether it's beer, whether it's wine, whether it's burgers, whether it's brunch. We just want to go out and get the best bread and the best product and the best meats to
Where
be able to do
bread?
In a way that's
can
super.
You say?
So our regular rolls come from Lysios in South Jersey. Mm-hmm. Love them. They do a great job with it. Mm-hmm. But we shop all over the place for stuff. Hungry Pigeon in Queen Village does biscuits for us. We've gotten bagels from local places.
That's awesome.
Anything that we can't make here, we go out and we try to find somebody who does it,
sources it
amazingly
locally.
Well, and then we just try to add our stuff to that. And, you know, we're lucky in Philadelphia right now. We have so many great places doing great stuff. The collaborations we've been able to do has just made us so much better along the way.
It's been great.
It's such a cool city to be in, and right now in such a great time for food in this city.
Absolutely.
So much fun.
So on that note, we want to remind our listeners we're at Lucky's Last Chance on Main Street in Manayunk. Please come.
Destination.
Awesome.
For people listening
lunch,
across the country,
dinner,
come to Philly
brunch.
And please spend a couple nights in Manayunk because it's awesome.
Absolutely.
And if you can't make it here, Queen Village, 848 South 2nd Street.
Okay. That's right. Thanks for sitting down with us, Chris.
Thanks so much
Chris,
for having me, guys.
Awesome.
I really appreciate
Thank
you coming
you
out
so
today.
Much.
Yeah, it was fun.
You should Thank be proud
you.
Of yourself.
Thank you for the
Absolutely. All right, guys. We'll talk to you. Actually, you will talk to everyone next week. I'll be in Guatemala next week.
Yes. So it's just me next week. Me and Vinny and maybe a guest. Maybe we'll do another location.
I'm not sure. Maybe I could try to call in from Guatemala, but I'm going to be on a construction site, so it's not going to work.
What are you doing in Guatemala?
A mission trip. All right. Let's wrap it up.
Okay, wrap it up.
We'll see you next
Thanks
week,
for
guys.
Listening.
Bye.
Food for thought. Yay.
I do a mission trip every year. I head up one of the construction.